Blog Talk Radio.
Who are the unstoppable ones?
Is it just that they can do it and I can't?
Who are the unstoppable ones?
Is it just that they can do it and I can't? Mission Unstoppable. Mission Unstoppable.
The unstoppable ones.
You did say unstoppable, right? You did say unstoppable, right? What is it they know that I don't? Coach Frankie Picasso takes you on the Mission Unstoppable.
Who are the unstoppable ones?
Can anyone stop these people?
Good evening, and I am the unstoppable Frankie Picasso, and tonight we are going on another Mission Unstoppable. One thick with subterfuge and conspiracy. My guest tonight warns that if you are really concerned about the global environment and energy, then you better stick around to find out what your government doesn't want you to know. Tonight he will disclose technology solutions with you that have been suppressed for the last 80 years or so by oil companies. You have the right to know the truth, but first, stay tuned and stay close. This is the Unstoppable Frankie Picasso. You are listening to Mission Unstoppable Radio. The time in Toronto is 8 p.m., 7 in Chicago, 5 in Los Angeles. I want to thank the good folks here at Blog Talk Radio for allowing me to broadcast over their network, and I want to thank you, too. You know who you are for tuning in to me each and every week and making it such a joy to bring you the Unstoppable Ones. I have the phones open. Numbers are 646-595-3741. The chat room is open as well, so feel free to call or write if you have any questions and want to join us. Tonight, my guest is Bruce McBurney. And before I introduce him, let's wish him a very happy birthday. Happy birthday, Bruce.
Thank
Bruce
you very much.
Bruce is an electrical motor mechanic, you're welcome, who decided that he wanted to leave a world worth living in to his children and his grandchildren. Worried about our environment, Bruce decided it was time to act, and so began his research. And what he found was nothing short of amazing. Bruce produced a report entitled The Secret Super Mileage Report, and among other things, he believes that we have the right to know about super carburetors, the real solution to air pollution, as well as the answers and solutions to many other of life's health issues. So let's welcome Bruce again, and we'll start chatting with him. Good evening, Bruce. Nice to have you with us. Thanks for joining.
Good evening, Frankie. Thank you very much for having me on.
Well, let's start about where you started and what actually propelled you to look into the research of super carburetors, among other things. Was there any kind of active event that happened, or you woke up one day and said, "See, let me look at this."
Well, it was a few different events that happened over the years. You know, you would hear these stories of these guys that would get this 100 mile per gallon and it would be suppressed. And then the one shop I worked at, there was a guy from Scotland, and he would get a newspaper from back home in Glasgow, you know, mailed to him. Well, it had this article about this guy, Tom Ogle, who in 1977 in El Paso, Texas, took a 351 cubic inch Ford Galaxy 200 miles on 2 gallons of gas, 100 miles to the gallon. And this is a big V8 engine, you know. And, you know, like, it was quite an interesting article. They strip-searched the car. They looked over. It had no fuel in the car. They looked all in the fender wells. And they had the plug on of the gas tank. They put the plug in the gas tank, put 3 gallons of gas in, drove out 100 miles, and there was an entourage of people and buses and cars, and, you know, like, they drove on 100 miles, and they had a coffee. They came back 100 miles and took a gallon out of this car. And I'd heard a lot of different things. Well, then I just hardly ever read the Farmer's Almanac, and I was shopping with the family, and I saw this thing, oh, the Farmer's Almanac, and I picked it up and scanned it through, and there was an ad for this book, Secrets of the 200 Mile Per Gallon Carburetor. And I thought, well, wow, that's interesting, you know, something. So I was, you know, whatever, I sent away the money, and I got the book, and it basically showed a variety of designs where people had built these things, and the premise was that you had to vaporize the gasoline, basically change it from a liquid into a gas before it could burn, which is not a premise. It's actually a science that gasoline doesn't burn in the liquid form. It only burns in the vapor form. But I started looking at this information and, you know, kind of doing a little bit of different research, and I think I got one other book from another fellow, Ray Kuvey. He was getting like 80 mile a gallon with a 400 cubic inch Chrysler. And so I started, you know, building these things and just trying to check it out and to find out what was going on. And long story short, I found out, yeah, it's all true. It's all possible. A little bit more chemistry than what most of them understand. They weren't just vaporizing the gasoline. They were doing a process called thermal catalytic cracking, changing the molecular structure of the gasoline into natural gas right on board the vehicle using the waste energy of the heating of the exhaust system.
Wow. Okay, I'm just going to stop you for one second. I'm having a little problems in the chat room. If you are able to listen and you were in the chat room, I'm really sorry. We're trying to get it open again. Blog Talk, oh, we got you now. Okay, sorry, Bruce, to interrupt you there. So natural gas now is clean gas. Is that correct?
Yeah, so then, you know, not only you end up getting like five times the gas mileage, the engines run practically pollution-free, just like
wow.
a natural gas.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Well, what's amazing is now I have hundreds of patents that have been filed on this technology over the last 80 years, and they've been bought up by the oil companies. Now, you have these idiots say, oh, this is all bull crap. It doesn't work. This is nonsense technology. It's not possible. Well, the average patent, wherever 1919, 1927, or 1997, costs about 1 year's salary to do a patent. Mm-hmm. Now, would most people spend a year's salary on something that they didn't think worked? Because if it doesn't work, the patent's not good for anything.
Right.
Now here's the real $64,000 question. Why would a corporation buy up a patent on something that doesn't work?
Well, they wouldn't, would they?
Well,
they
wouldn't
only buy
think
a patent
so.
on something that did work.
Okay, and the people in the corporation are human, so that means they make mistakes too. So you would think, okay, maybe at one point, you know, some idiot thought he was buying into something and he got sucked into something and he bought into it. So he would certainly get his wrist slapped and everybody else in the plant or the corporation would know about it, right?
Right.
Well, why would this go on buying up these patents year after year after year after year after year?
Now, do the patents ever go? Do they ever go? I want to use the word extinct because I can't think of the proper word. But do they ever
expire.
Run out and then people?
Yeah, they do. A patent expires after.
Okay.
A patent expires,
and can you then pick up that patent and put it in again yourself?
Yeah. Yes, you can.
If one wanted to. Okay. And what about? Okay. Now you said that there's about 80 some odd patents that these companies have bought up.
No. No, there's thousands.
Thousands of patents that they bought up.
Yeah.
That makes it even worse, doesn't it?
Yeah. I have one CD-ROM that I sell for a guy in California, and on that one CD-ROM, it has 930 systems on
wow.
one CD-ROM. And
so let's look at the implications of this one more time, because this is so important. Okay, we have patents that can convert this gas into a natural gas that is clean, that oxygenates the air, that is going to stop pollutants, and it gives some of them give you up to five times your gas mileage. Now, this is something that we would think our government would want to implement, especially with global warming, especially with, you know, so many problems in medical conditions that people are, the cancers that we're all coming down with. But no, nobody wants us to know about this. Why the secret? Why are they hiding this? Why the conspiracy?
Corporate greed.
This is something we all need to ask ourselves. Corporate greed. You know, what else? It's a way to keep us in line. This is a way to keep citizens in line. You know, I had a wonderful show this morning, and my guest, Steve Behrman, said, you know, stop acting like subjects and start acting like citizens. And it's so true. We need to become a little bit more active. If this bothers you, I hope you're going to do something. Now, Bruce, what can people do?
Well, basically what I did with my information to get the truth out is I put it on my internet site. And because this information is unbelievable, I sell my book for $20 money back guarantee. That if you read this book cover to cover and you're not convinced, you can get your money back. And also, I put the information on the internet where you can read it for free. There's more information in the books, the pictures and diagrams and stuff, but the basic information is on the website. HIMACResearch.com is my website. That's HIMAC and the word research. It's all together like HIMAC Research, or another way of looking at it is HIM Acre Search. And it's funny because I made up HIMAC Research, and it wasn't until years later that somebody says, oh, that says spells HIM Acre Search. It's like I've been, you know, searching for it through an acre for, you know. But I have not only my book on the website, I have other books. I have now published other books for other people because this information on the 100 mile per gallon I put on the internet 12 years ago.
Wow.
And I jokingly say, I'm on a mission from God. I'm trying to find intelligent life on planet Earth with some money, guts, and integrity that does actually care about the children. Because all
right.
these people, you know, they, you know, like all these people with all their money, their grandchildren, they're going to go through hell because of what's going on this planet. And it's only going to get worse because, you know, I realized and found that, you know, not just his carburetor stuff has been suppressed. You know, there's so many other wonderful technologies, free energy devices, things where people are getting energy just off the gravitational and energy forces of the planet. You know, 27 different cures for cancer. There's out there. There's people that are doing things. They're curing cancer, and it's just amazing that, you know, the Cancer Society doesn't want to look at this stuff. In fact, excuse me, that's an interesting thing.
Yeah, we'll talk about all that in a little bit. Let's just go back to this mileage, the carburetors again, the super carburetors, because this is something that is so simple and easy. Anybody right now can retrofit their car for. Is that correct?
No, that's a problem. It's not simple and easy. It's kind of like, say the guy who invented the refrigeration got shot by the guy who was selling the ice. You know, they put the Iceman on a business, the refrigeration, right? All the people collecting ice all winter and storing ice and carrying the ice don't to be everybody in their ice coolers. You know, well, if say the guy who invented the refrigerator got shot or got suppressed by the ice people and we're all using ice. Well, if I wanted to go and build a refrigerator right now from scratch, I could spend $30,000 to $50,000. And that refrigerator would probably break down in about 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
But because that didn't happen, we did get the refrigeration on the market, it's mass produced. You can go on and buy a refrigerator for $500, and that refrigerator is probably going to run you 10, 15 years without a problem.
You have a solution for this already? And don't these people who have written these books have solutions that you can purchase from them?
Well, yes, it explains how to build it, but it still is complicated
to
build. And it's still not something that John Q. published. Now, I do have one book that... Yes, there are people can build the thing very simply, but it's not going to give you 100 miles to the gallon. It's only going to increase your gas mileage 25 to 75% on average. Now, it's a hydrogen system, and there's a lot of people now that are selling these hydrogen systems. Well, this book that I sell for $29 explains how you can build all this stuff for under $100 worth of material in a weekend. There's no welding. There's no machine work. It's just a simple container.
That sounds okay to me. That sounds pretty easy.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
But then again, this is easy, but it's not going to give you the 100 miles to the gallon. Your car normally gets 20 miles to the gallon of gasoline. So now with this, it's going to get 30 miles to the gallon or 25 or maybe 35 if you're lucky. But
well,
it's not going to take.
Well, the gallon gas is 92. It's not so bad. But last week or 2 weeks ago, when I was paying $1.40 or $1.65, because you know I have to take the best gasoline there is, that would be a real solution for me. That
would
be really meaningful.
It's a real solution for a lot of people. And like I say, there's a lot of companies that are coming up that are bringing this technology out now. And like I published this manual in 99, and it's $29, explains how you can build it all. And I sell this manual money back guarantee. I've never had to one person bring the manual back. In fact, what usually happens is they come back with their friends and buy in more manuals. It's
well,
just, you know,
proof
yeah, and not only it's got the hydrogen system in it you can build, there's another little device called the PVC container. And it goes in your positive crankcase ventilation line, and you can build this thing in a couple of days. Very simple, you know, $50 worth of material. And you can put it on your car, and your car will cut the emissions up to 75%. And this little device, it'll increase your gas mileage anywhere from 5 to 25%. Now, some people
wow.
say, oh, even 10% is a lot. Well, you know, this little device, now, it was into production. This inventor never sold out to the oil company. It's been out there for 30 years, this one device. And just a couple years ago, the inventor passed on. The company that bought out the technology, if you look at what they're doing, they're really not trying to market it. And if
well,
they put this...
Go ahead. Finish what you were going to say.
If they put this one device on all the cars and all the trucks in Canada, we could meet our Kyoto emissions target.
Wow,
and
that's something.
Yeah, and it's one thing you can put on your car for $200, and on a diesel truck it'd be $500-$600. And the payback on the unit, like even if you only save 10%, which is usually about the minimum average, but if you pay $50 a tank of gas, well, $5 a tank, it don't take too many weeks, and you got this thing paid for.
Yeah, no kidding.
And there's many people that are using it and are getting the 20-25% better mileage. And the other spin-off is your engine's going to run clean. You can go 300,000 miles on your engine, and it'll still pass an emissions test. Because
and you've cut the emissions by 70%.
Yeah, or even more
yeah.
on some cars. We've got the documentation
wow.
on some. You know, but it just makes the engine run clean, so it just keeps running for longer.
So
but
if your car is
a
priority and the environment is, then, you know, you certainly want to look at this technology and get it as soon as possible. But if you're looking at saving money on your car, then, you know, here's another reason just to do it. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Now, we were talking before, and you said that this last inventor died of natural causes, but a lot of them didn't.
No, a lot of them didn't. A lot of people were eliminated or disappeared. In fact, there was a friend of mine just a year and a half ago. He had a website, Get 113 to 138 MPG, and his story was this. About 15 years ago, he had his own refrigeration air conditioning business, and the price of gas was high, and he was sitting around one day and got thinking, and he started pouring gasoline, and he used gasoline for a cleaning agent instead of using the regular fluids for the gas, you know, for the air conditioning thing. And it all evaporated, and he got thinking, and he ended up, you know, researching and building one of these, and he had a Dodge Coronet station wagon getting 113 miles to the gallon, 318
cool.
cubic inch V8. Well, he, you know, started talking it up all around, and, you know, he was a businessman, and his brother had a business, and, you know, they were known in the community. Well, his wife started getting 8x10 glossy pictures of the children in the mailbox.
Wow.
Intimidation.
Yeah.
And, it went right on. And this guy just would not quit. Well, finally, the oil companies tried to buy him out, and his lawyer said, oh, these guys are from the oil companies. They're just going to shelve your technology. So he kicked them out of the house. A few days later, the chief of police walks in and puts drugs in his home. He's a Christian man, hates cocaine. And the chief of police drops cocaine on his floor that the deputy behind finds, and they bust this inventor for this cocaine.
Wow.
And it turned out, because he, you know, I don't know, it's because of he knew half the police department. Actually, I knew a guy down here in Niagara Falls and in the refrigeration, and I went out and I worked with him for a while. And if there was a cop drive by, he knew the guy's name. You know, he just, you know, connect. I don't know what I used to say to my boss. I don't know whether it's a connection to the donut shops or what, but the guy in the refrigeration knew half the police. And so this guy knew half the police in their town, and they helped him prove that the chief of police framed him for drugs, and the drug charges were dropped. However, when he was arrested, he had a shotgun that, you know, they basically say, we buy them for skeet shooting, but the reality is it's neighborhood security. You have a shotgun in your house, you ain't going to get broken into. Mm-hmm. And but when he bought the shotgun, it says, have you ever been convicted of a felony? And he had a little problem when he graduated, but it was a misdemeanor. And he ticked off the box, no. Well, this is years later when all this happened, and they tried to frame him for drugs, and that didn't work. Well, they noticed that he ticked the box for no on the gun registration. They picked up the guns when they busted him for the phony cocaine bust, and they said, oh, wait a minute, you had a felony. And he says, no. Oh, no, the state of Massachusetts called it a misdemeanor, but because alcohol was involved, the feds called it a felony. Because he ticked the box on the thing to buy this shotgun, they gave him 15 years in jail.
Wow.
And this inventor did 10 years in jail.
Oh, my God. How old was he when he went to jail?
In his 40s. And then he after 10 years, and he it's weird, too, because he says, we built some. And he got along great with everybody in the jail because I think he put them on the guards' cars. They put them on the tractors in the prison. You know how, like, if you go to prison and you're a machinist, you work in the machine shop, you're a doctor, you go to work in the hospital, you're a refrigeration mechanic, you're in the machine working. So he fixed up their furnaces and all kinds of stuff in the prison. And then he just all of a sudden he got out. And then he started setting up all his information on the internet. And a friend of mine saw what he was doing. I ended up talking to him, and we connected. We've talked many, many times for a while. We were talking every week. He tried to put it into production, tried different things, got jerked around, got in a car accident. They ran him off the road. And then eventually called up. He says, oh, things are too hot. I can't stay here. And he had been to China, because in China they were looking at putting it into production. And he said, oh, the men in black were across the road in a van watching him. So he went on his backyard and across the neighbors, and his buddy picked him up across the block. And he was on the, you know, just living different places. And then he says, well, I'm going to get out of the country. Well, then he didn't say anything. And then it was about 2 weeks later, he called on Skype, you know, the internet phone.
Yeah.
And just... he says, oh, I just want to let you know, I'm here in China, I'm settling in, everything's kosher, I just thought I'd let you know I'm here, and I'll talk to you again, and, you know, and that was it, and then I've never heard from him since.
Wow.
Been a year and a half. And, you know, it's, you know.
Yeah, yeah. You had a call, didn't you? You were called by somebody.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I had an ex-CIA agent call me up and had an interesting little conversation. Guy says, are you Bruce McBurney? Did you put all this on the internet? And I go, yeah. And he says, well, I want to let you know what you did saved your life. And I didn't know who I was talking to, and I don't take, you know, people too seriously. And so I, you know, kind of jokingly came back and says, yeah, sure, big deal. And so he came back and says, oh, no, I'm not joking. I used to work for the CIA suppressing guys like you.
Isn't that freaky to have that kind of confirmation?
Yeah, well, I've had quite a few before that. I had, in fact, there was a guy, Ted LaPan, I think in 1974, he was on Popular Mechanics because he had a Lincoln Continental doing like 35 or 50 miles per gallon. And, he told me some horror stories, you know. I've heard it. Well, yeah, he says right after he got on the cover of Popular Mechanics, he would have people trying to get him alone. and, you know, just trying to take him out for a drive, just to get him away from everybody. And he stayed public. He stayed within a church group. And he said it got so bad, he lived in Northern Ontario for a while, and he lived in Japan for a while. But he said it was just crazy. They just, you know, would come after him.
Who do you feel is behind? I mean, is this the government? Is this auto? Is this pharmaceuticals? Like, who is behind all of this? Who wants to suppress it the most? Who has the most
gain? It's weird. There's a lot. The government get the taxes from your gasoline. The car manufacturers do not want it on the market because it makes an engine run so clean you could go a million miles and never change a spark plug.
Mm-hmm.
All right, your engine's
yeah.
just. In fact, I ran into a mechanic who had a natural gas engine. And he said they rebuilt it at 700,000 kilometers.
Wow.
And that's a lot of kilometers.
It
and
is a lot.
You know,
I had a van once. Every 200, I had 200,000. You know, I had to put a new engine in it.
Yeah. Well, that's normal.
Yeah.
But this guy, they said this natural gas van had 700,000 kilometers. They rebuilt the engine, and he didn't have to do the rings.
Wow.
Like, you know, like, I mean,
yeah.
And actually, with right now, there's, and I got the guy's number if I can find it here. What I need most is to get organized. But there's a guy, I think about 8 or 9 years ago, I put one of these condensator devices on his diesel truck. And I ran into Cliff there in the probably about in the springtime here. And the guy's got 2.5 million miles on the same engine.
2.5 million miles?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
2.5 million miles on the same engine. They've never rebuilt it. And he's getting 2 miles per gallon better than anybody in his truck class.
What does
his old
truck look like on the outside?
probably pretty good. The guy really... honest to God... I don't know. I haven't seen it. But before, when the guy brought it around, you know, like this, you know, it was his own personal truck, his truck, and that's why he could put the stuff on. Like a lot of these fleet places, they don't even want to deal with it. You know, they don't want to even look at it. But, you know, he did it, and he looked after his truck, and he maintained his truck. And, well, got to be doing something right to get 2.5 million
yeah.
miles on it, you know.
How old was the truck? Just curious. You know?
Well, at that time, I would say it was probably, you know, 3 to 5 years at the time. It wasn't a brand
Holy.
New truck when I put the unit on.
So he was cross-country trucker, U.S. trucker?
It's like one of those 28-foot box vans on the back.
Yeah, okay. Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Well, my car's got 376,000 kilometers on it, and the last time I went in to do the emissions test, the guy says, I don't know what you're doing, but you're doing it right. Keep doing it. You know?
Ah, no kidding. Well, you know, at the beginning of the show, we talked about how it, you know, these help oxygenate the air. And you have on
Well, it really doesn't oxygenate the air. It just stops the oxygen depletion.
Okay,
I mean,
which is important. I mean, you know, you mentioned on your website about early cancer research proves that less oxygen causes cancer. And
yeah.
And you know, you mentioned that, you know, cancer falls into two categories, an oxidizer that prevents or something that prevents the transfer of oxygen in our system. Now, what's important are some of these stats that you have, because you said in 1850 cancer was in 1 in 50 people. In 1900, 1 in 35. Now it's 1 in 3, with forecasters
yeah.
75% will get cancer by the end of the century. Now,
yeah.
your aunt, who I met first, Tashine Wolf, she had cancer.
Yeah.
And you helped to save her, really, didn't you?
Praise God, I've helped a lot of people.
I yeah.
love
that. Yeah. So let's talk about a little bit about cancer and how you went from, you know, carburetors to cancer.
Yeah, well, I keep saying it's all in the letters. I'm just going through the encyclopedias in the C's.
Yeah.
One day we'll get into
well,
the
Z. God bless
something.
You when you get to Z. Yeah, or Z, wherever you're living,
well,
however you pronounce it.
It just, you know, with all doing all this stuff on the carburetor, and because, like, I put my book on the internet for people to read for free, I say, like the Bible says, as you sow, you reap. So I put all this wonderful information out there for people to read for free. And I had people sending me all kinds of wonderful stuff back. And I'm looking at all this information and, you know, these people that were curing cancer in all these different ways. Raymond Roe Rife back in the 1930s curing cancer electrically, and he got shut down by the medical community. I call them the Pharmafia, pharmaceuticals. My nickname is the Pharmafia, and I always make my apologies to the Mafia. I have far more respect for the Mafia.
Yeah.
I believe that the Mafia has killed less their entire existence than what the pharmaceuticals do in one day.
We have some folks in the chat room here, Bruce, and one just said that they've known how to cure cancer for 50 years. One was a German Nobel Prize winner. Thank you for giving us that information. And you're so right. There's so many cures that we know of. And you know, I've already had so many people on this show. The feds won't let you cure yourself. No kidding. We're going to talk a little bit about that. If you want to call in, War Club, we'd love to have you give us some information, whatever you have. The number to call is 646-595-3741. Why don't you join us? Bruce, go ahead. Sorry to stop you.
No problem. I understand. You got to look after the chat. Basically, one of the most amazing things that I've learned about is the colloidal silver and now colloidal gold. Mm-hmm. And the properties of that as far as cancer goes. If it's made in a strong enough concentration, it will just knock the cancer right out.
Well, you're making colloidal silver and colloidal gold. And, you know, I mean, there was a lot of talk not that long ago about that one guy who turned blue with agraria in England. And, you know, a lot of people think of it. Some people don't even know about it, and other people, you know, don't think about it. If they do think about it, they're afraid to take it because they're going to turn blue. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the colloidal silver, how you make it, and why you're not going to turn blue, and what it does for you.
Okay. Basically, colloidal silver is an antiseptic that's been around for thousands of years, and any which way they could put silver ions into water would give it a natural antibiotic property capable of killing every bacteria known to man. E. coli, C. difficile, all these diseases can be handled with this wonderful product. Now, the problem is with this product is that it's been around for 1,000 years, and the drug companies cannot put a patent on it and control it. And so it would eliminate all their other drugs, or how a good percentage of their other drugs could just be completely eliminated by using this one thing. You know, the books list it will kill anthrax and can use for the eczema, psoriasis, dermatitis, and acne, and any skin irritations or rashes or cuts or burns. You can drink it internally. You don't get the colds, the flus. If you get food poisoning, you take an ounce every hour, and the food poisoning's gone. No diarrhea, no vomiting, just, you know, this ounce of this stuff every hour settles the stomach right down. I've had testimonies, right, you know, like, oh, from so many different people. It's just getting amazing. We've had 3 cats, 2 dogs, and a pet ferret certified cancer by the vets. They just did the silver. Cancer's in remission. And it's just been amazing. All the people, we had a girl with leukemia, a girl with cervical cancer, a fellow with lymph node cancer, and this is all he did with silver. Now, I've had a lot of others where, like with my aunt, she did the silver, but she also did electromedicine. She did a variety of different, you know,
healing technologies like Reiki.
Healing technologies, you know, and like I say, yeah, well, if I had cancer, I wouldn't do just one if I got 27 cures. You know, you do 3 or 4. You pick ones that, you know, you can handle, you can do. There's one simple cure for cancer. It's called the carrot cure. And it's, you know, like, how simpler, you know. Now, if you don't like carrots, well, it's not going to be your cure. But if you like eating carrots, go on out and get yourself a couple 100 pounds of organically grown carrots and a good juicer. And for the next 7 to 9 days, eat nothing but carrots. Drink nothing but carrot juice.
I think the 95. Important word there was organic, because carrots, I'm told, you know, do absorb a lot of things from the ground. And so you have to be careful with them that you get the organic variety. And also, I mean, there's a lot of sugar in carrots. So if you have diabetes, you might want to watch that too.
Well,
like you said, there's a lot of different cures.
it's a natural sugar. And the thing is, from what I understand, is there's nothing in the carrots that the cancer can live on, and the cancer will literally starve to death, but you won't. You can live off the carrots. Now, you might go carotene poisoning and your skin go orange for a while, but so what? Your cancer's gone. You know, and that goes back to that, you know, the guy in the blue with the colloidal silver. This is, I call, propaganda, because it's total misinformation. They parade this guy around, oh, don't take colloidal silver, your skin's going to turn blue, you know, scaring everybody away from this wonderful product. Well,
here's the
reality. Number one, this guy did not take colloidal silver. He made it himself, he made it the wrong way, and he took silver chlorides. Silver chlorides are the most toxic form of the silver, okay? But even though it's the most toxic form of the silver, this guy took the equivalent of 2,400 times the prescribed dosage.
Yeah. Crazy.
It was crazy.
I did find a few people on the internet making silver chloride, so if you are looking for how to make silver on the internet yourself, just make sure they don't add salt to it, and that's not in the recipe. And Bruce, you know, I do buy my colloidal silver from you, and I have not had a recurrence. I had a chronic cellulitis that I was getting, and I have not had a recurrence since I started taking the silver. I take about half a shot glass a day, so it's been fantastic that way for me. So, you know, kudos to you for making it, and thank you for making it. And so if you want to buy it, you can, again, go to highmacresearch.com, or you can call Bruce and go to his house and pick some silver up. I also take the gold. Let's talk about the gold for a second. What does the gold do?
The gold, colloidal gold, is for your mind, and I've got a few different articles by different doctors who researched it. It does anxiety, depression, fear, frustration, mellows people out, calms them down, takes the edge off. People who are using alcohol drink less. People who are using drugs smoke or do less drugs. They actually used to use it for a treatment to get people off the drugs. It, on a double-blind study, colloidal gold increases your IQ by 10 to 20%. If that got onto the kids in the universities and colleges, I would be swamped.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, it's also, I mean, I take it because of you know, pain, but it's good for muscular pain. It's good for arthritis. It's good for things like that as well.
Yeah, the colloidal gold does the rheumatoid arthritis, where the colloidal silver does more of the osteoarthritis.
Right. So, you know, you get a double hit, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
If you've been in a motorcycle accident, right. Yeah.
Well, yeah, and if you cut or scratch yourself, you put your silver on, the pain stops within a minute.
Yeah, the silver's pretty good. It's great.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been using it on my kids and doing all sorts of wonderful things. Now, I did, you know, we were talking about you getting colds and you don't get colds with the silver, and you mentioned to me, I said, you know, I got this cold, and he said, yeah, but, you know, you need to put the silver up your nose. You need to put the silver somewhere else that, you know, is going to protect you or help you get over this a lot quicker. So that's all really great information. You also have some other technologies that you've been working with. Now, you are making, aren't you making a device for people who want to make silver themselves at home?
Yes. Yeah, I do sell the machine to make the silver. It's a totally automatic silver machine, and it just put the water in, let it run for a while, and it shuts off automatically when it's done. It's high quality. Yeah, it's pretty much idiot proof. It took a lot of time to get it to that point, but before making it manually, it was quite involved, kind of like, you know, being a chef and a cook. You know, you got to watch all your times and rotate and things and everything with it. But the automatic one has just been very good, and everybody who's gotten the machine so far is very impressed with it. It produces the water in a sufficient amount that it don't take too long to pay for the machine with the prices of the water. And even that the price, you know, I sell my water much cheaper than what they sell in various outlets.
You're talking about colloidal silver water, not tap water. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Let's
be clear about
what we're talking about. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And now your silver is what, 10 parts per million?
Yes, 10 parts per million. I took it up to 10 parts per million because I saw in the literature that at 10 parts per million it becomes a fungicide. And I've got all this tie-in that cancer is a fungus. And all chemotherapy drugs are fungicides. So why not take the fungus? a fungicide that's totally not going to hurt you. I mean,
yeah.
You know, like this stuff, you know, literally the EPA says you can drink a gallon of it a day with no toxicity limit. But meanwhile, because the pharma mafia is losing money, the FDA wants it all regulated.
Right, right. You have a lot of you have a lot of research on conspiracy theories and different kinds of things. Now, I did have somebody on the show maybe about a month ago, Rick Simpson, who also had the cure for cancer. You gave me his name. Rick was selling hemp oil, or not selling it. He was giving away hemp oil, I should say,
yeah.
because he didn't want to be charged with trafficking drugs. And was curing cancer left, right, and center. So he probably saved over 1,000 people, which is pretty phenomenal.
Wow.
And was charged by the Supreme Court of Canada for, growing it. Although, you know, as they stated, that he was a criminal who called the police, who called the government, who called everybody to tell him he was growing it. So they weren't really concerned about him being a criminal as much as growing something that the law says you're not allowed to have. Although he says it's natural, it's nature, and if, you know, citizens have a cure for something, why shouldn't they be allowed to cure themselves? And that opens up a big ethical question. It opens up a big question that, you know, again, subversive, subterfuge, conspiracy, why aren't we allowed to have the things that are good for us? Why can't we have, information about things that are going to save our environment, information about things that are going to save our lives?
The big answer is because it's going to cost a corporation money.
Right. Yeah.
That's,
people are gonna
that's
be out
what
money.
It comes down to. Yeah. Did you ever hear the reasons why they made marijuana illegal in the first place?
No. Tell us about it.
Okay.
Money, money, money. You're right, Rob.
All right. Years ago, you could buy marijuana in the local corner store, the local drug store. Queen Victoria used it for PMS. And honest to God, if they still were using it for PMS, there'd probably be a lot less divorces going down. It was very acceptable, except headaches, no problem. Everybody, you know, it was right there. Just like you go buy an aspirin, you go buy yourself an ounce of marijuana up until the 1920s. Well, at that point, Randolph Hearst invented a paper process out of wood. Before that, all the paper was made on cannabis, marijuana.
Paper. Oh, really?
Really. The Constitution of the United States was written on hemp paper. That's why you can still read it. If it was made on wood paper, it wouldn't be around right now. Also, DuPont Corporation invented nylon rope. Prior to that, all the rope was made from hemp.
Mm-hmm.
They grew so much hemp that the seed was available and it was cheaper than barley. And when Oliver says in the thing, please, can I have more gruel? That was hemp seed porridge. It's got the best protein on the planet for human consumption. All right. If for
now,
people
we
to
see
eat,
hemp. We see hemp in the. It's back again. It's in the grocery store.
Yeah,
it's in the cereal.
Yeah, but,
you have hemp
but,
and you know hemp purses
yeah,
and hemp.
Hemp seed.
Seeds
yeah.
And hemp this
but,
and hemp everything except for hemp oil. That's illegal.
Yeah, because that's the real one thing. But I'm just saying, just in the nutritional thing, hemp seed is a
right.
very good. Like it's better for you than oatmeal or you know anything. It's very good for people. But Randolph Hearst had this paper process, and DuPont had their nylon rope. Their competition was hemp. They got together and they created a movie called Reefer Madness. And it basically shows Johnny the boy next door starting to smoke marijuana. And
yes.
within a week, Johnny the boy next door is a homicidal rapist maniac. And he's like the Wolfman. Honest to God, this is the
I
way.
I remember that movie. Yeah.
All right,
it
and,
was probably
and
in the
they,
in 1970s when I went to see it with my buddies. I was, you know, in high school, and
mm-hmm.
we snuck in to see that. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, but it was a total propaganda. Like Woody
yeah,
Harrelson,
it was
he's Woody Harrelson says now the reality is you can take any homicidal maniac and let him smoke for a month, and he won't want to kill anybody. That's reality. Do you know why there is so much marijuana in the prisons? And
oh,
they
is there?
Cannot. Oh, yeah. In fact, I was talking to you. Guy says there's more. It's easier to get it in the prisons than there is to get it on the street. You had people walking up, you want a joint, you want. You know why? The guards bring it in.
Yeah.
The guards know if they pass on a few joints to the guys who are miserable, they're mellow, they'll be quiet for the night, and there won't be anything. And then this propaganda where Johnny the boy next door becomes a homicidal maniac rapist, Well, excuse me, marijuana does not enhance anybody's sex drive or cause them to go more sex. It goes actually the opposite, to take away that. So this is total bullshit propaganda, and that was the only reason why they made this stuff illegal, because this movie was used to kick everybody up into a frenzy so the lawmakers could pass these laws against it, because the pharmaceuticals knew it would cure cancer. They knew they would lose money, and they knew they couldn't put a patent on it and control it.
Wow. You know, Rick said that he found out the cure from Dr. David Suzuki, who had Reefer Madness 2 on his show, and that's what clued him into making the hemp oil and curing people. So, yeah, if anybody knows of anybody with cancer, you know, certainly think about the silver, think about the hemp oil, and all the other cures that are out there, the 27 other ones, plus, that you can find that the governments, both Canada and U.S., don't want you to know about.
No. It's a crime against all humanity. I used to get so upset about the carburetor. Now I'm thinking about it. I'm more upset about the silver and all this other stuff, because, you know, it's one thing, okay, there is a few bucks in your gas tank, and yeah, it's pollution in the air. But this is life or death for some people. And not only it's life or death, it's life or life miserable.
Yeah.
You know, like, I have people that are asthmatics, total, you know, can't play in the sports or anything. They use my silver, completely eradicates their asthma symptoms. Go play and have all kinds. Their life just comes alive.
Yeah.
And then if they go off the silver for a couple of weeks, all their asthma comes back. Now, my question is asthma a silver deficiency because now of our not depleted soil, we don't have the minerals in there?
I think it's an oxygen deficiency because, you know, they said that there was an increase in asthma among young boys who play hockey, the carbon dioxide that comes off the ice. And so, I'm thinking that it might be an oxygen deficiency.
Well, then why is it that when everybody takes a little bit of the silver, it goes away?
I don't know. Maybe the silver acts as an agent to oxygenate the blood.
I don't know about that chemistry. I know that it kills parasites that might be robbing the oxygen.
Yeah, certainly not a doctor, but you know, we're intelligent beings, and we can reason things out. So that could be something. Who knows?
Like I said, I don't have to know exactly how and what it does. All I have to know is it does.
Tell us a story about your buddy with the thumb. That's an incredible story. I think he had diabetes. Didn't he have diabetes? And his thumb got he came from a card meeting or a meeting of inventors or something that you belonged to.
Oh, the guy with the blood poisoning.
Yeah, him.
Yeah. 72-year-old diabetic got bit by a cat between his thumb and his fingers. And he got bit on the Sunday, and he went to his doctor on the Monday. And cats carry this very bad bacteria in their mouth. At any rate, he got antibiotics from the doctor. The doctor cleaned up his wound, but every time he took the antibiotics, he couldn't keep them in his system. He'd throw them up. Mm-hmm. Well, he came to our Inventors Club on the Wednesday night, and on the Wednesday night, his hand was swollen up a quarter to a half inch around normal, around the area where the puncture wounds were, and he had black lines up his arm.
Very dangerous for diabetics, especially.
Yes. 72-year-old. So he came and he got some silver. We put it on topically, as well as he started taking this shot, you know, three times a day. Like, you know, normally you take a little shot once a day. It keeps you healthy. If you do get sick or you got something going on, you do the three times a day. So he did that. A week later, he comes back to the club and he holds on his hand and he says, "Look, Bruce, I've never healed so fast."
Wow.
Well, all the black lines were gone, all the swelling was down, and all he had was four little puncture wounds, and you know, between his thumb and his finger. And that was amazing. But the next thing was, a couple weeks later, he comes up to me, he says, "Oh, my wife loves your colloidal silver." And I says, "Oh yeah, you got her on it?" He says, no, but it's killed my bad breath I've had for the last 30 years." And then the next thing happened with him was, 3-4 months later, he comes up to me. He says, "I had a real strange thing happen." And what do you mean? He says, well, my neighbor came over and said, what the hell got into you? And, you know, old Ray says, what are you talking about? And Ray says, neighbor says, well, I've lived next door to you for 9 years. You'd come out, you'd work the morning, you'd go in for lunch, and I wouldn't see you till the next day. But this last month or two, you come out and you work all damn day, and your wife's coming out to chase you in for supper. And Ray says, colloidal silver, I have twice as much energy, I eat half as much.
So, yeah, that's amazing, Bruce. If somebody was going to take it or somebody wanted to take it or found it on the internet or whatever it was, so are you how much are you suggesting they take a normal person, a healthy, well, supposedly healthy person? They would take
like
a
quarter to a half ounce a day. But I've even had, you know, like now with the colloidal gold, I've got people that are getting the effect just by using drops a day, literally drops of it.
So if you took a half a shot glass three times a day, if you were sick or something, that would be about right?
Yep, that's about it. Yep. And like, you know, we're saying about the cold, I went 3 years. I never got a cold. I used to always be the one to get the cold. Anytime the kids came home or anything, I'd get the cold. Well, I went 3 years. I never got a cold. And then I got this cold, and it just wasn't going away. You know, I'd drink it 3 times a day, and it still wasn't going away. And one of my customers said, oh, spray it in your nose. So I, you know, like just sprayed it right in my nose, inhaled with, you know, get the mist spray and pumping it up, sprayed it in, cleaned it, did that 3 times, cold was gone, cleaned my head right
up. Beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah, and it's,
now,
it's,
is it supposed to taste a little metallic?
Yes.
Do people notice that? They do. Okay.
It just depends on how tuned their taste buds are. Most people don't taste it. If you're, you know, got a refined palate, you'll get the metallic taste.
Right. I guess sometimes women are a little bit more sensitive to things too. Smell, for sure. We know that. So, you know, where's your research taking you today? We've gone through silver and cancer, and you have a machine. You have a machine that works on what? Electricity? It works on...
Well, it's a frequency
ozone
machine. Yeah, it ozonates the blood, and it frequency zaps. It's I didn't invent it. I basically, through learning all these different things, there's a fellow out in Washington State, Dan Dial, and he was doing some experimentation for Carillion photography to enhance people's aura in a portrait of their aura. And when he was doing this, the one fellow that was his test subject had a wound on his hand, and it really hadn't healed up for a while. That's why he was just sitting around being a test subject, and then was using this machine. It just healed right up. And, you know, he started investigating and, you know, what did this? And he tried, you know, many different people, and everybody that would try it, well, yeah, I feel great. You know, it does amazing, you know, whatever. And I guess he invented the machine maybe 30 years ago. And, you know, just been selling them word of mouth here and there, you know, internet, and, you know, different people get it. And he's sold several thousand of them over the years. And
is it the ozone that is curing them? What do you think? When I was in the aesthetic business, I had a machine that created ozone, and we would put brushes and things. So instead of like a doctor has the heat thing, we would sterilize with the ozone.
Yeah. Well, this one, it doesn't make the ozone like that. It puts the ozone right into your blood, in like through your hands, where you hold this bulb, you put your bare feet on a glass, and you hold this bulb, looks like about a 300-watt light bulb with no wires in it, just only one wire coming to it, and it's filled with gas. And when you hold this in your hand, and then after you get off the bulb and you shut it down, you put your hands over your face, you can smell the ozone coming back onto your hands. This is, as far as that goes, it was a fellow a few years back, I think his name was Basil Wainwright, and he took a kidney dialysis machine, and, you know, basically a kidney dialysis machine removes your blood, it filters it, and it puts your blood back in. Well, he took it, and he hooked it up not to filter the blood, but ozonate the blood. So he'd take the blood person, the patient, hook them up to this thing and take the blood out, ozonate it, and put the blood back in. And they were curing cancer, AIDS, and fibromyalgia. And
wow.
as a result of this, the guy who invented the machine basically was thrown in jail for practicing medicine without a license.
Yeah. Wow.
Because you can't do needles and transfusion. That's a medical procedure.
Right.
And, you know, that's what he was doing in his process. Now, my machine doesn't do any medical procedure, and I, you know, it's not my machine. It's just basically I have it here, and I have connections to other people to buy them now, and I've got other people, you know, they come down and they start using it. They feel great, and they buy one, or, you know, the people just use it for a while. They feel great, and then they never come back, and they just, you know, maybe come back a week or, you know, a month or, you know, every few year or whatever just to do a tune-up on it. I've also got other electrical zapper systems. I've also got a friend that he has a Rife technology, Raymond Royal Rife. If any of you out there want to search the internet, this guy Rife, R-I-F-E, he was curing cancer in the 1920s and 30s electrically.
Oh, wow.
And it was just amazing technology what he came up with, and I've got a video on him. And the basic concept was that just like you sing the right note to a wine glass, the wine glass will shatter when you hit the right note.
Right.
Well, all organisms, everything, has the right note or the wrong note.
When it hits a frequency, when it hits a certain frequency, it explodes or kills it.
Yeah.
Wow.
And he invented a microscope because he was into optics. And he could magnify, look at live cells under a microscope. While other researchers were using coloring and dyeing to differentiate the cells, he had the bright idea of using a prism.
Uh-huh.
And the prism, just putting the rainbow of color through, he could look at the cells when they were live. When they were looking at the cancer cells, they noticed that it was a crystal structure. And they decided, gee, if this frequency thing, so they hooked up the cancer cells as they would slowly go through the frequency. When they hit the right frequency, and under the microscope, the cancer cell would explode. So say they had liver cancers, and they'd all explode, say, at, you know, 9,167 cycles. Then they'd take the person who has liver cancer and put 9,167 cycles through the person, and those cancer cells would explode. And he'd cure the cancer. And this was all shut down because, hey, you can't put this into a pill, and we don't, you know, want you curing cancer for 27 cents worth of electricity.
Right. Of course not. Where would the pharmaceutical companies go?
Yeah.
So, you know, we've got 3 minutes left in the show, and you've been a fabulous guest, and it's been your birthday. Happy birthday again. I hope it's a good night for you. I hope you're enjoying yourself anyway, and I hope that, you know, somebody brought you a cake and ice cream and with candles. That would be great. What's turning your crank today? Where does your fancy go? Where do you want to go? What do you want to look up now? What do you want to cure? What do you want to change the world?
I want to get out what I got. I don't want anything else right now. I just want to get this out. I don't want, you know what I mean?
Tell them again what you've got. You've got a book that you sell for $19.95, and it has you tell them what you got.
I have my book that explains the 100-mile-per-gallon carburetor, and I say your mother-in-law can read it and understand it. And I've had guys said to me, my mother did read it and understand it. And I had another lady say, I don't even know what a spark plug is, but I read your book and I'm totally convinced. I also have 6 other books on 100-mile-per-gallon technology by other authors that have been written over the last 25 years. And I resell those books. I have 2 books on hydrogen. One is a simple-to-build hydrogen system. You can build it yourself. The other book on hydrogen is by this fellow by the name of Stanley Myers, and he ran a car on water only up until they killed him. And then I have 2 CD-ROMs. I have a CD-ROM for a fellow in Australia. I published for him. He has 500 pages of research and 140 AutoCAD drawings. And in his 500 pages of research, he has a magazine article from Australia. In 1927, a Mr. E.A. Fagan went 85 and 92 miles per gallon in a 1926 Chrysler with 2 different reporters.
Wow.
And this is how it got this guy in Australia. His father interested this, you know, and then he kept on doing it. And they actually now have a system, and if anybody emails me to the website, I can send you to a video link. The guy has a system like this on a Jeep, and he went from 15 to 33 miles to the gallon. Also, right now in Ohio, there's a guy that's doing 110 miles per gallon, and for sale on eBay was, and I don't know if it's still on there, but 2 weeks ago it was, a 59 Opel that got 376 miles per gallon.
Wow. Okay, we're out of time. Ah, you did well. So it's www.highmacresearch.com. You've been listening to Bruce McBurney on Mission Unstoppable. I'm Coach Frankie Picasso, the Unstoppable One, and I will see you next Tuesday night. Thank you so much for being my guest, Bruce. And thank you, everybody,
thank
for
you.
Sticking around and listening to us. We really appreciate it. You take care. Have yourself a great night. Happy birthday again.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for having
thank
me on the
you.
Show.
Oh,
bye-bye.
It was my pleasure. Greatly. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, Houston, for a limited time at VisionWorks, you can get two complete pairs of glasses, frames, lenses, the works, for just $49 on single vision glasses and $89 on progressives. And that's a good deal, but we offer that pricing on over 500 frames, which makes it a great deal. Right now, buy two complete pairs of single vision glasses for just $49 or two pairs of progressives for only $89. VisionWorks, we're here to help you. Some restrictions apply. See store for details. Offer expires November 10th.